Stephanie and I had a great conversation before we came in here today, and the gun bounty program I thought was absolutely tremendous. And I thought, well, you know, if we tried to do that in my area, it would be ye that has the mostest wins. So, you know, it would be the exact opposite. We'd have people showing up wanting to buy the guns, not give them up. In a most recent domestic, we took over 50 or 60 firearms out of a house on a domestic, but that's typical of the state of Kentucky. We cherish our firearms. It's a right in our state, and it's something that we feel very dear about. Obviously, in metropolitan areas, that is different, including Louisville and in some areas of Lexington. They have issues that I'm sure they'd like to get rid of them, too. There's a couple of things that I noticed this week, and I've spent my time going to a lot of the sessions, as many as I can get to, and pop in and out. From a small agency perspective, Stephanie commands about 90 people on her forensic group, and that's the sworn officers and the technicians that go out to crime scenes. My area, I live in northern Kentucky. Alexandria is just south, about 14 miles south of Cincinnati. So our area is very suburban and rural. Most of the people that live in our area, they either work across the river in Ohio or in some of the industrial areas in northern Kentucky. But in our county, we've got 10 agencies, 10 law enforcement agencies in my county. The largest is 35 officers. The smallest is one. So in the three northern counties of Boone, Kenton, and Campbell in northern Kentucky, we've got just roughly over 300 total officers. So for a small agency, we have to become the jack of all trades, and that's very difficult for us. As a matter of fact, next month I'm sending I've got 15 in my agency. I'm sending my third officer to get certified as a criminalist at the Criminalistics Academy down at the Department of Criminal Justice Training. That certifies him to do the evidence collection that we need, because we don't have the resources regionally even to pull from. So we have to work together. Small agencies, if we have a large crime scene, we have to pull from each other. And that's where, in the research and what I've seen and heard about forensics and the investigations this week, I would love to see small agencies get more involved in that aspect, because there's so much that we have to do. If you compare a patrol officer in a small agency and a patrol officer in a large one, the real difference is a large one answers a call, picks up the phone, and calls the technicians to come in and do the work. A small agency picks up the phone, calls a dispatcher, and says, I'm going to be here for a while, because he has to do, or she has to do, all that work. So we are held to the same standard in court, regardless of the size of the law enforcement agency. The officer has to be able to do all that stuff. So it really creates a huge challenge for us in funding and resources. The biggest thing is in funding for training. We've got the officers that have the ability and the willingness to go learn. We don't necessarily have the funding to pay for the training. So there's one issue that I've found this week. Another one is in our labs. In Kentucky, we have one lab system. It is the state's. And they do a tremendous job, but in this economy, and as in years past, even when the economy was good, when things needed to be cut, it seemed like the labs were cut. The funding for the labs has been a huge challenge for us. We don't submit forensic work to our labs for property crimes. We just don't do it, because it takes too long for them to crank it out. It's an overload. Now, that has its good and its bad points. If we don't submit the work, they can't request more personnel, and they can't say, hey, we've got all this backlog, we need to clear it. But when we go to court, we just have to hope and pray that the officers are able to articulate properly in court and get a conviction without having that forensic evidence. As an example, tool marks on a burglary could take anywhere from 18 months to 2 years to get back from the lab. You can't have a case sitting around that long. So that's some of the issues that we face in the rural area. Kentucky is like in other states, and we're not unique in this perspective. The largest agency in the state is Louisville Metro. We've got 1,400. Next would be the state police with just a little over 800, and then I believe Lexington's right around 500. We have 460 law enforcement agencies, of which 380 are 10 men or less. So in our state particularly, when we talk about research and whatnot, it's great that Louisville, Lexington, and the state police get those get that look, because they certainly have issues, but the majority of the state is small and rural. And we kind of feel at times that we just are an afterthought. And we've got the staffing. It's amazing the people that we're hiring today. We're very proud of the officers that we're putting on the street. So I listened to a presentation on predictive policing, listened to the DDACS, the data-driven approaches to crime and traffic safety, which is huge for us. We don't have analysts. It's my biggest problem. I don't have the people. I don't have I would almost have to hire a civilian to come in and to do that work for us. We have one criminal analyst assigned to the state police post in our area, but that person is responsible for 10 counties. So having one analyst try to do all those agencies in 10 counties is daunting. So we really need that that support in that area, because within 5 minutes, from my office, in 15 minutes I can be in downtown Cincinnati. And our big issue in our area is heroin, because we can go across the river into Cincinnati and buy heroin and be back across the river in literally 20 minutes. And we've had overdoses and whatnot. So that permeates the northern Kentucky area and all those agencies, those jurisdictions that are crossed. If we had the analysts to work with us in that regards, that would be fantastic, because those are hot spots and areas that we could target. And one of the things that we are very proud of as small agencies is our ability with computers, and we've been looking at the mobile APHIS. Our problem with that is our pipe downstate to the APHIS database is too small, and we can't do it. But I was fortunate enough last year to be a part of the technology work group that IACP held in Indianapolis. And I sat on the mobile computing side, and right next to me was a commander of that unit for the L.A. County Sheriff's Office. Great guy. I was really ecstatic. I could sit and talk to somebody about, you know, what large agencies are doing, some of the technology that's out there, and it was reversed. We were doing more with our computers than what they were doing in L.A., and I was shocked. We are accessing databases on the Internet and doing so much more. I've got officers, and it makes me laugh to think of the things that I did on third shift when I was bored, and we won't talk about that because maybe some of the statute of limitations aren't up. we've got guys that are data mining. They're going out and they're hitting these databases, and they're pulling down names, and they're pulling down addresses, and they're cross-referencing them. And instead of drinking coffee and putting on the golf course in the middle of the night, as some of us used to do, they're actually working on a computer and going and waking people up at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning and putting them in jail, because that is the level of staffing that we're hiring now. These, and I say kids that we're hiring, are fantastic. They're much better cops than I was at that age because of their ability to utilize and to implement technology. It is amazing what they can do, and I think we need to harness that and get some of those people more involved, because the ideas that we have implemented have come literally from the patrol staff. We have built interoperable data systems on the web that agencies dump all their reports and whatnot in so that we can share that locally. That was done from the car up. It was literally, we took a group of patrolmen, we sat them in a room, and we said, what would you like to see? If this, all this information was available to you, how would you want to see it? How would it work? And we built it from there. And we did it with just a little under $30,000 in grant money. And so what can be done inexpensively is amazing when you put a bunch of heads together. And when you don't have the resources to draw on, you figure out ways to do it a little bit better. That's where small policing is. I'm kind of at awe with the research that I've seen this week, and the knowledge that's here in this building has just been tremendous for me, and I appreciate that. I just wish there was more representation from the practitioners, from the people that are using. And it's amazing to me that, you know, I've been in law enforcement in Kentucky for about 28 years, and this is really the first time I've had an opportunity to see what NIJ truly does other than getting publications, emails, and occasionally perusing the website. So it's tremendous, and I wish we'd had an opportunity to get more involved with this earlier.